Hi, everybody. Welcome to TNT Bombs, a podcast where we discuss issues and topics from a youth perspective. I'm Tejas.
And I'm Tanush. We're both high school juniors from Bellevue, Washington. Today, we will be speaking on the rising eviction crisis in the United States in the midst of the pandemic. The Aspen Institute predicts that 30 to 40 million tenants are at risk of eviction right now. That's nearly 40% of all renters in the United States. And evictions can be quite problematic.
For starters, evictions are an extremely stressful event and can often hurt the mental health of a renter's family. A renter might have to move to another neighborhood to find housing, their commutes to work might increase, and their children might have to change schools, along with other problems. And of course, there's the worst-case scenario of potential homelessness. Also, evictions can remain on a tenant's credit score for up to 7 years. So even if the case ends up being dismissed in court, that can hurt the tenant's ability to find new housing.
To combat these potential evictions, governments have been instituting eviction moratoriums, which are essentially laws or orders that prohibit landlords from evicting tenants. But as the pandemic has dragged on, a majority of state-level moratoriums have expired. The original federal moratorium, instituted by the CARES Act, ended on July 24th. After that, the CDC-issued moratorium in early September is set to expire at the end of this calendar year. The federal government is currently debating a relief bill that would extend the CDC-issued moratorium throughout January 31st of next year. Even the eviction moratoriums that are still in effect aren't a perfect solution. The CARES Act moratorium only applied to renters who lived in houses that took money from federal assistance programs or were covered under a federally backed mortgage loan, meaning that only about 40% of the nation's renters were covered. And it was a whole nother process to figure out if you even qualified for the CARES moratorium. Fortunately, the bar for qualifying for the CDC moratorium is lower, with most folks who make under $99,000 a year qualifying.
While on the subject of the newest congressional relief bill, it's worthy to note the bill could include $25 billion in assistance to renters to help with stockpiled rent and utility bills over the pandemic. The money would be distributed through state and local governments to renters who meet certain requirements. Renters must be under the threshold of 80% of the median area income, show evidence of having been affected by the pandemic, and have a demonstrable risk of housing instability to be eligible for the aid. This new aid may not be enough to help more than 18% of renters who are behind on their rent, with the nation's rent debt being above $25 billion. That also doesn't include held-up utility bills and late fees, and it'll only get worse in the months to come.
Alright, so now that it's clear that the rent debt, and specifically evictions, are a major issue facing our country right now, we're going to shift our focus towards new, innovative solutions to these problems.
Yeah, so Democratic lawmakers in the Pennsylvania state legislature have recently proposed a bill to expunge eviction information from public records under multiple scenarios, including if the case is dismissed, if the renter wins the case, or if it's in the interest of justice to keep the case files sealed. If this sort of legislation were to be passed, it could help limit some of the harmful effects of evictions, both during the pandemic and in the future, and allow a former tenant to continue to find other housing opportunities without a settled eviction continuing to haunt them. The current scope of the bill, though, is pretty limited, as even if it were passed, it would only be effective in Pennsylvania. It also wouldn't solve the root cause of the problem in the growing financial crisis, as it doesn't fundamentally help renters pay their bills.
There are some other small tweaks in the legal processes surrounding eviction that can help renters after the fact. But it's clear that most evictions are a lose-lose scenario. We already discussed the negative ramifications for tenants earlier, but landlords also suffer. A landlord has to pay legal fees and often gets stuck in messy court battles over collecting outstanding rent. And on top of all of this, they can lose out on income when it comes to trying to fill the property with a new tenant.
Alright, so it's clear that evictions suck and that millions of renters are struggling to pay their bills right now. But there are a lot of solutions coming down the pipeline that are focused on these issues. The idea that we'll be focusing on today is something called a renter stimulus plan. Before we get into the details of these plans, it's important to understand some basic processes of renting. When a tenant moves into a new property, they have to sign a lease. Among other things, a lease will set the terms for the rental and will include the amount due each month, the day rent is due, how long the lease will last, and how much the tenant must give for a security deposit. Security deposits are essentially sums of money taken by that landlord on top of rent that acts as insurance or a fallback of sorts for the landlord. The money could be used in case the tenant were to cause any damage to the property, fails to pay rent, or even steals something. It's important to note that this money doesn't belong to the landlord, and is still the tenant's, but it stays in an escrow account unable to be used by either party.
The average security deposit in the United States is about $1,400. A renter stimulus plan would put this money back into a renter's pocket, and all the renter would have to do is pay a monthly fee towards an insurance plan of sorts. The cost of these insurance plans can vary. The three companies leading the charge are Rhino, LeaseLock, and Jetty Insurance. Rhino's insurance plans cost about $5 to $15 a month. LeaseLock's cost about $29 a month, and Jetty's cost estimates weren't available online. But the concept here is relatively simple. By putting hundreds of dollars back into the hands of renters, this allows them more financial flexibility. It also reduces the large upfront cost of moving into a new home. And as for the landlord side of things, if an issue were to come up, like damage to the property, the insurance company would simply pay off the damages instead of the landlord having to dip into a security deposit.
Many states have legislation requiring a security deposit, so for these plans to continue to be feasible, there must be some sort of changes in legislation. The renter stimulus plan has recently gained bipartisan support from mayors in some of the largest cities in the country, such as Miami and Los Angeles. These plans also wouldn't require any federal funding. Similar to the previous solution, though, this may not be enough for renters who have almost 10 months of rent coming due at the end of January, which is when the moratorium ends. These plans also haven't been widely adopted yet, so we're not sure if they are a sustainable business model or if landlords would be inclined to accept them as an alternative to the old security deposit. So, to wrap it all up, the pandemic has caused millions of Americans to fall behind on paying their rent, and once the federal moratoriums end, many of them could be evicted. The government has been working to pass relief to help these Americans cover the built-up costs, but multiple companies have been in on the action too, trying to enact renter stimulus plans that could help put the security deposit money many renters gave out back in their own hands.
But it remains to be seen which solution will be effectively adopted. And that wraps up this episode of the TNT Bombs podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review or sharing the podcast with a friend. Our show notes can be viewed at rebrandly.com/TNT Bombs. That's rebrand.ly/TNT Bombs. You can also reach out to us through our email, tntbombspodcast@gmail.com. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Tanu Shadav and Tejas Agarwal.
Thanks for listening. We hope to catch you all in the next bomb.